one of the things that really is the biggest value prop, and especially, you know, think of it from a marketing manager's perspective of these demo calls that I have with these marketing managers. They think in terms of our ROI more than, you know, any designer might. And so they're thinking in terms of, how do I justify this to the CFO and go about things that way. So, you know, you got to almost put on your marketing cap to some extent and know how they speak and their language. And so it's really, the conversation goes into the ROI of design and the distinction there.
Welcome to the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast, brought to you by Aventive Academy. I'm your host, Katie Sandell. I'm a brand strategist, designer, creative director, and the CEO of a successful six-figure design agency based in Austin, Texas, serving clients worldwide. After mastering the art of building a profitable and sustainable design business, I decided to help you achieve the same success. I teach brand, graphic, and web design business owners how to attract more clients, increase their pricing, and develop design businesses that provide the financial freedom and time flexibility you've always dreamt of. We offer online programs, courses, and templates that you can use, along with our coaching, accelerator, and mastermind high-touch experiences for creatives. You can learn more about starting and growing your design business at aventiveacademy.com. But for now, grab a cup of coffee and join me in today's podcast episode. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Profitable Graphic Designer Podcast. In this episode, we are talking about freelancing and entrepreneurship, and we have a special guest. Kyle is a seasoned designer and entrepreneur with a wealth of experience in running multiple businesses while maintaining a healthy work-life balance. He's been working with Fortune 500 companies like PayPal, Toyota, Walmart, Chipotle, and so on. But before we start our discussion, I just want to say that this is like a full circle to me. So in 2016, I bought an ebook that's all about logo design. And in that book, I found something that either I really liked or there was a typo, like, I'm not sure. I just know that there was something. And so I reached to the author and we started a conversation, and I never even thought he would like respond to me. So this was 8 years ago when I thought, oh, I just need to improve my design skills and I will get clients. And so Kyle is our guest today, and he was one of the first freelance designers I ever, you know, started talking with. And now we both have done amazing things since then, and now I have him on the podcast. Like, it's wild. Okay, so let's kick things off by inviting Kyle to introduce himself. So Kyle, welcome, and please tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, Katie, thank you so much for that kind intro. You're too kind. And yeah, it's fun how we are having this full circle moment here and chatting on this pod together. This is fun. So
yeah,
as far as kind of a bit of my story goes, from high school, I knew that design was what I wanted to do. I feel like one of the rare lucky ones to know it early on, but when you're sitting in classrooms waiting for that next bell to ring and all of a sudden you get in this graphic design class where you just want it to keep going, I knew there was something there. So my mom's an art teacher, my dad a pharmaceutical sales rep, so it made sense to eventually turn this into a freelance business where I maybe got, you know, some of the sales side from him and maybe the artistic bent from my mom. So, you know, at the beginning, though, it wasn't all daisies and roses, as they say. Got to build up this client base. And honestly, Katie, I think we've talked about this before. I didn't think that it would turn into, you know, a business in the first place. It felt like a hobby really at the beginning as I started to build that base. But eventually, you know, it kind of turned into this, you know, branding design business to where the cornerstone really was logo design. And you know, I love logo design, and it happened to be kind of the hinge point to a lot of the rest of other types of design, right? You know, once you have the logo, clients tend to want a website and some business cards and some, you know, brand guidelines and some of these other things that innately come, you know, after that or in a subsequent way. So I happened to like logo. I kind of stumbled upon it, but I knew that I had to promote the business, right? And so, you know, now I'm, you know, almost coming up on 15 years full-time freelance, but at the time was working low-paying 9-to-5ers that were, honestly, for the risk of sounding, I don't know, overdramatic, maybe, were soul-sucking for me. And I knew there's more to this life than just kind of working in a, you know, a situation. At the time, it was like an agency where it was really production-minded. And I like the strategy behind design, right? There needs to be strategy. So anyway, dabbled in digital marketing. I knew that I needed to learn digital marketing in order to promote myself and market myself in a way that not only was effective, but really cost effective. So, you know, didn't have a lot to work with at the beginning. So I knew that, so I happened to dabble in organic SEO and just learned as much about SEO as I could. And at this time, gosh, this is going to date me, but, you know, that was, gosh, what year is that? That was 2000 and around 2010. You could get quick wins with SEO. You can still get some quick wins here or there, but it's more of a long game that you're playing, right? So, you know, I started to rank for these keyword terms in my local area, and that's really what started to shoot the company to the moon, and eventually went full time freelance, and here we are. So, stop there. But there's more to the story. But that was kind of the introduction to the design world and this freelance business of mine.
Yeah, amazing. And can you tell us, like, why did you decide to freelance at a first place instead of just having a stable, normal 9-to-5 job?
When I was little, I started mowing when I was 14 and had a mowing business with around 10 clients. I had a car wash business, you know, a little bit before that. And so I kind of went by the beat of my own drum since I was really little. And, you know, I never really worked for an in-house type of feel for longer than a year. There's a couple little times there that I did work in-house. It was like, whoa, I figured out really quickly that wasn't for me. It's okay if someone loves that. That's great. That's collaborative and great. But for me, freelance was the answer. You know, there's a tribe of people that I followed along the way and books that I've read where it's like every time I hear, you know, everything about this consulting, you know, / freelance world is like, that's what I want. And, you know, we're told, you know, maybe a generation or two before us that has to be this certain way. And that's still creeping into, you know, some of our conversations today with it and, you know, in certain circles. But I think, you know, especially post this post-COVID era, if we can mention that, I think, you know, there is this light bulb moment, especially from these tech companies saying, hey, we don't have to bring on, you know, we don't have to have all this talent in-house necessarily. They can work from home. And, you know, the studies show that, you know, we don't want to be looked over the shoulder and have that micromanaging kind of feel. So, yeah, that felt like my tribe, and it still does. And whenever someone reaches out to me and said, hey, you know, I'm looking to maybe not, I don't want to be in-house anymore, fight the traffic and do all those things anymore. How do I get there? Like, and for people listening to this, if you want to reach out to me, I'm sure you as well, just we want to show you how, because it's made an impact, I know, on your life, Katie. We talked and definitely on mine. You know, I've got a wife and three kiddos here at home. And one example, you know, all four of them had COVID just a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God.
So I can be here, right? And I'm not locked into this 40-hour week type of schedule necessarily, to where I'm bringing on contracted work and I'm staying busy, of course, and working hard. But I can take a, you know, I took a few days off and didn't have to ask anybody. You know, I didn't even have to tell anybody necessarily, you know? So that's, I think, the difference there to where, you know, it opens up those freedoms. And I can't imagine ever going back to any type of in-house situation as a result.
Yeah, definitely. So you were basically an entrepreneur the whole your life. I mean, you started, you had different businesses prior to this one. And I love that you mentioned that from your early age, you knew you're going to have your own business and you maybe worked like for a year for someone else. Cause I can totally relate to that. I had a job for 8 months. That was it. And like that's it, everything in my life. And that was in Las Vegas. I was working one signs and printing company. And I just like you quickly realized that that's not for me. And I wanted to work from home. And then, you know, you get tired kind of like working from home. Then you want to have an office. Then you are in a co-working space. And then you go back to home. At least that's how I was. And you mentioned like having contractors. And I also know that when you were scheduling this podcast recording, in the form you mentioned working 20 to 30 hours per week while running 3 companies. Can you first tell us more about each company?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, what is my freelance business? I've been running, for up to 15 years now. And that's, you know, really niches in to some extent in the branding space whenever. I think this is great advice, by the way, but whenever people said to specialize, I kind of ignored it a little bit just because I love working within, you know, this umbrella of branding and all the different types of design work that comes from that, all the different industries and things. So that's not for everybody, right? I think you've niched in on industry, by the way, you know, and that's worked well for you and that's perfect, right? And so we each have our own individual goals. So it's important. I think the folks listening to this, it's like, you know, it's good to take in this information, but you got to know your own goals first. And if there's advice that aligns with those goals, great. And follow that. And that's good. And that's practical and actionable for you. If not, then, you know, you just got to be careful, I think. So yeah, getting back to your question. So the Courtright Design is my freelance business. And, you know, that's been going for a while now. And then Logo Wave is another entity that I started back in 2016. It's a logo awards platform and competition where really it puts the spotlight on the amazing logo work that my fellow logo designers have created already for clients. So it's not like a 99 design. It's like the opposite of 99 designs. You're creating something and we're putting an extra spotlight on it as opposed to doing spec work or something like that, which I am firmly against. So, you know, it's been fun running that. My boys, you know, we've got, you know, trophies, right? And so the trophies are set and my boys, you know, they're 7 and 9. They help package up the trophies. And it's been this fun little like side hustle type of thing. You know, I've got an amazing jury with, you know, folks like Jacob Cass, David Airy, who's become a good friend of mine as a result of Logo Wave, Lena Wheeler, which, you know, as you know, she just passed recently and we still have her on the site or says rest in peace, Lena. And, you know, I think, you know, she's been incredible to our industry and was just so giving of her time. So I want to make sure to highlight her in this conversation. But
definitely
Bill Gardner, I mean, there's you know, Ian Paget, we talked about him. And you know, I think the credibility that wasn't maybe there at the beginning, you know, was brought forward because of this jury, I think, at the beginning. And so there's a lot of freelancers coming in at the start, which there still is, but now there's more studios and agents, bigger agencies coming in. And so that's become a litmus test. Like, okay, we're doing something right. We're still going to learn from our audience and listen well. But yeah, $1,000 and a trophy to the winner, trophies to first, second, and third place, Logo Lounge, you know, 1 year subscription, and other things that are fun that have kind of added to this price pack. And of course, the recognition, what link back to your website that comes with it. So it's built by a logo designer for logo designers, essentially. And then number three, the third one is Etch. Etch Design is my had a subscription model, had a design agency, to where really with my freelance business, I feel like I wanted to rebrand the subscription or retainer model in a way where it felt a bit more credible. And if a company was just coming in blind, kind of through, you know, maybe it's a cold email or something like that, or cold DM, that there's a little bit more credibility behind Etch than Courtright Design, you know, this freelance business that looks like it's just run by one specific owner. So decided to learn Webflow in a day, put up a landing page, and just kind of tested the waters. Did a soft launch about a year ago. And it's really a way for clients to come in and get that top 1% design quality, the reliability that they expect, and then, you know, pretty quick turnarounds. So it's tough to get all three in this industry. And we've got a small team here. I've got a creative team I've been working with for 5 years on kind of the freelance side, to where I pitched it to them and they're like, yes, let's do this thing. And so that's, let's see, 6 senior level designers, a creative director, just hired a project manager and a BDR, a business development rep. So we're a mighty team of 10 at this point. And, you know, really just trying to take on, we've got a few reserve spots and trying to fill a few more here. So we're not looking to land like hundreds of clients for this thing. It's more, you know, keep the design quality, high quality, in order to, you know, serve folks well, because we're not looking to outsource willy-nilly too much. So I think 10 is going to be my max client base that I take on for that. But yeah, that's a little bit of the story.
I feel that now I have like 10 questions in my head. I should have like written them down all. So you have about 10 employees or contractors, and who manages them? Like, how do you how do you find people that are the right fit? Tell us more about like how do you grow into an agency?
Yeah, and we're still figuring things out. So I'm not going to sit here and say, "Hey."
I feel like it's always like that.
always. Hopefully,
in 10 years,
right?
You're going to say the same thing.
Yeah, I never want to come across that way, because I'm a continual work in progress, and that's the understatement there. But for what we have learned, though, you know, for something like this, I know my target audience is those marketing managers, VPs of marketing, heads of marketing. So, you know, we've dabbled in different spaces. I know that early stage startups are not the best fit. So mom and pop shops, early stage startups, they just don't have the funding to, it's high ticket, right? So it's around that $7,000 a month mark. So, you know, I want it to be a good fit for them and us. And if someone comes in, you know, as a small business owner, I'm going to try to convince them to not move forward with it if the funds aren't there. So, you know, it has to be a symbiotic relationship and mutually beneficial, just like any good partnership. So, you know, really the optimal audience here is, you know, those mid-sizers to Fortune 500s. And right now I'm kind of ramping up the social media game for this. I haven't even created social media profiles. I've really tried to commit to testing the waters, seeing if there's a gap in the market first, and then going into lead gen and testing some different avenues there. I will say that Apollo.io is a really interesting lead generation channel. And this applies to so many different, you know, types of businesses, right? And I know that this is really creative centric, you know, listener base here. So check out, I'm not an affiliate or anything. I'm just a believer. Apollo.io, they've got some great AI integrations built in. And I think the price is right for the value that you get. So I'm dabbling in some different, you know, some different tech, like Lucia is another one that I would say to look at. Crunchbase Pro is another one that I've tried out, that you do need a LinkedIn kind of premium subscription for that. But a lot of all three of those, especially Crunchbase and Apollo, have incredible advanced search features. I mean, you think LinkedIn is great with the advanced search? I mean, this just like levels it up just that
next,
much further.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for one example, you could plug in, because you know you're trying to figure out where, in my space at least, in branding and design, when do clients need design the most? That's the question I have to answer, right? And so from what I found in my research is when you have an investor round. So if there's an investor round within 6 months, you can say between 0 and 6 months investor round, and it pulls up all these different companies that fit that mold, right? And I can talk directly to like leaders in marketing and drill it down to that as well. So you're like niching in really on that avatar, that optimal avatar, so you can, you know, really reach out to them. And as we know, you know this, Katie, timing has to be right. And, you know, the audience itself has to be, you know, exactly correct too. So, you know, it's just like go ahead. Sorry.
No, I just have a quick question. So basically you would find the leads and then you reach out to them, like cold DMing or cold emailing?
Yeah. So that's a work in progress right now. We're testing things out with the different tech, but that's the plan, is to, you know, go cold DM on LinkedIn outreach, email sequences. Email is still relevant, believe it or not, these days, right? And it still works. So, and then optimization of those, you know, once you see something working, you test a couple different things, split test, and you hone in on what works, right? So just like any paid ad media that you might have, you test the creative, you test the copy, and you hone in on what works, and you split again from there. So it compounds in the best way possible. So yeah, those are a couple of platforms that are looking good. But really, Katie, I'm playing the long game right now, especially at the beginning, doing things that don't scale. So even giving away I'm careful when I say this, but giving away free value, I think there's a time and a place for that. If it's valuable to your company, then there's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But gosh, we could get into, you know, the value conversation and making sure that we're, you know, pricing based on value and what we're worth. And that's so, so important. But, you know, there's sometimes when it's worth it to give away a little bit in order to show that you can serve them well and, kind of develop forge a bond and, you know, nurture that bond over time and eventually maybe have them become a client.
Before we continue with this podcast episode, I just want to quickly remind you that if you're a design business owner whose dream is to have a successful and profitable career so you can enjoy the freedom and flexibility that comes with it, then I have something for you. The Profitable Designer Program is my signature 12-week system that will help you improve your business, sign amazing, high-paying clients, and truly achieve your financial and lifestyle goals. Visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit to check if you can join us now or if we are currently not accepting more designers into the program. In that case, you will be able to join the waitlist and be the first to know when we open the doors again. Now, we'll go back to the episode in a second, but I just want to add that designers who completed the program were able to sign 5-figure design clients, 10 times their pricing, reach 6 figures and beyond, make $20,000 per month while working only a few hours a week, and more. Here is what Julia said.
It really has everything you could ever ask for to build a 6-figure business that will allow you to have financial freedom. And that's why I personally did it. Like, I wanted that flexibility.
So if you want to be my next success story and achieve results like these, visit AventiveAcademy.com/profit. Now, let's go back to the episode. So now I'm curious, when you mentioned all the like the value and maybe value-based pricing, and how with your subscription design company, how do you communicate that? How can people see that they will get a value? Because, maybe, yes, they know you, they saw your portfolio, but also how do you communicate how much they're going to get per month? So let's say they sign up 7,000, 8,000 per month. Is that like unlimited designs? You're working 24/7, or like, how does that go?
I'd be in big trouble if I offered unlimited designs, just like truly unlimited, right? And I think this unlimited design I model. I'm careful of some of that terminology because I think for those who are offering unlimited, right, it's usually one at a time or, you know, two at a time, whatever package they go with. So once one is complete, so say a brand guidelines, and once that's complete, we get the sign off, then we move on to the next one and the next one. So that kind of keeps it in place to where people can't, you know, just say, hey, I need a website, brand guidelines, logo, and all this stuff at once. You know, we take it one at a time and we're delivering it with speed with that quality. So we feel like that is in alignment with that price point, right? And going back to that, you know, your question, I think one of the things that really is the biggest value prop, and especially, you know, think of it from a marketing manager's perspective of these demo calls that I have with these marketing managers. They think in terms of our ROI more than, you know, any designer might. And so they're thinking in terms of how do I justify this to the CFO and you know, go about things that way. So, you know, you got to almost put on your marketing cap to some extent and know about how they speak and their language. And so it's really the conversation goes into the ROI of design and the distinction there. And so, you know, with their numbers, it's like you can hire a senior level designer easily for 100K, right? And if they're an employee, $20,000 more in benefits. And so with Edge, you know, it's 7K a month. It's a good investment, right? But you're saving 30 to 40K by going with a contractor as opposed to that in-house employee. And oh, by the way, we've got great communication. We're on it with the turnarounds. And so some of these potential objections, we kind of crush at the beginning because they know that we care about them. We're going to take care of them well. And, you know, we want to just see their visual brand grow. And as a result, their organization grow.
So, yeah. And so how does that go when it comes to branding? I know you mentioned you work with larger companies and not with startups. So are they looking to like rebrand or they need to add more to their plate? Like if they have a website, but maybe a few pages are missing, or like where do you fit in when they're not just starting a company?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the interesting part, because with logo and identity, part of our job is to make sure that they don't come back for a long time or ever, you know, so it's memorable and timeless, right? And stands that test of time. So I've really focused in on, and this I think is helpful, whether you're running a subscription design business or an agency, studio, freelance, or whatever, you know, to the one of the game changers for my business and what has helped me grow exponentially is focusing on those designs that, and I tend to really like this kind of category of design, the marketing design side, to where, you know, ads, digital ads, it tends to be ongoing in nature, you know, even landing pages, email template design, social media graphics, blog graphics, things like this that I happen to enjoy. So I'm going to pursue them because of that. And oh, by the way, you can measure the results of some of these items, especially landing pages, email design, ads, things like that. It can be measured. So these marketers know, okay, the investment that I'm putting in Kyle and his team is completely worth it. And let's continue. And so we work hard, you know, me and you, Katie, we know that there's an ROI of design, but it's more about communicating what that ROI is and how we put in the time and effort in order to make sure we're taking care of folks. So yeah, that's a little bit of the story there.
Yeah. And I feel that a lot of designers, me included, at the beginning, I never talked with a client from their perspective, but I was always talking like, oh, you get 2 to 3 different logo designs to choose from. And they're probably like, oh, okay, I don't care. Like they just want to see how their business is going to grow. They don't care about the deliverables. They don't care even if I say you're going to get unlimited number of revisions, unless it's a small client, then they want to not micromanage, but they want to know every single detail because the risk for them is huge because they don't have to reinvest again because they have to start the business. So, yes. You know, it's just like, it's different, like working with smaller clients, larger clients. And can you tell us, like, how do you get clients for your freelance business? So not a subscription business, but let's say 2-3 years ago, like how were you getting clients for your freelance business only?
Yeah. So really, it started out with SEO, but it eventually has turned into word of mouth. So, you know, and I've listened to enough podcasts to know, oh, great, like, there's another word of mouth, you know, answer. But there, you know, there's some other lead gen avenues that are working these days, and one of which is LinkedIn. It's very B2B, I think most of our, so business to business, right, for those who don't know. And there's an advanced search that is really powerful. You know, you can apply to LinkedIn jobs, but, you know, as of, you know, last year or two, it's instead of hundreds applying, it's like thousands now, which is just nuts. And I think LinkedIn took off the cap where it says 100 plus now, and because so many people are applying, they don't want to deter people from applying to these jobs. That's how crazy it's gotten right now in early 2024 at the time of this. But yeah, I think, you know, a big thing for me has been word of mouth, but LinkedIn has been super helpful. Strategic partnerships just are on the back end, you know, with other creatives and agencies has been helpful. But more practically speaking, if I would give one piece of advice to folks, it's to use a recruiter. And I know when you hear recruiter, it's like, oh, like hourly right away. It's like based on time, and which there's a time and a place for hourly work, and nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But I tend to work on flat rates, project-based, because hourly can tend to devalue your experience, right? The more experience you have, the more efficient you can get things done, and it devalues that. So again, there's a time and a place, I think. And, you know, there's some designers I work with that prefer hourly, and that's fine. I'm going to respect that. But there are some recruiters. There's a subset of recruiters out there, if you look hard enough, that can work with you on 1099. So essentially on that project basis, or in my case, I have a lot of retainer type of clients that come in. So it takes work. It takes some work, right? I'm not going to say these all just fall in my lap. And they have a little bit more as I've, you know, grown in my career, because I've kind of developed that network of sorts. But if you look hard enough and you want it enough, you can find those 1099 folks that I would recommend in, you know, in areas like California, New York, Chicago, where they have a higher cost of living, because you can get paid more for the same results, right? And so, and then what I would also say, practically speaking, is hone in on those boutique staffing agencies as opposed to these big players that where you just get lost in the competition, right? And so what I found with these boutique agencies, and again, you know, high cost of living areas, there's not only less competition, but you're kind of more high up on their list, and they reach out to you sometimes, right? The quality needs to be there, and, you know, there's some work to be done on the back end to make sure that you're showing your value. But once you have that value that you're showing to folks, like, they're going to be coming to you as a result, right? And I'm not saying you necessarily, Katie. I'm talking to, like, you know, folks listening. Like, they're going to come in, and it might not happen right away, but with any good relationship, it needs to be nurtured. And so I've got reminders for myself on a monthly, bi-monthly basis where I'm just, you know, checking in with folks. And obviously, you know, there's some times where I check in and I don't need any work at that time necessarily, but it's good to keep that relationship open with a roller coaster of a freelance world, right? For most of us, to where when there's a little bit less work, you can come back to that person. It doesn't feel so like cold, right? Like you're already checking in on them. And so it's genuine. It just needs to be genuine. And it's not like you're just trying to get something out of them. I'm a big advocate for, you know, give 3-4x before you receive type of thing. So yeah, that's a little bit more. I like to show people like how, instead of just like giving generic advice. So hopefully that helps a couple people along the way.
Definitely. And I feel like a lot of creatives don't leverage LinkedIn enough, because it's not as visually appealing as Instagram or Pinterest. And so they keep posting and posting and sharing and connecting and following, but maybe on the wrong platform. How did you and when did you figure out that LinkedIn is the right social media platform? And are you using any other social media platforms? Do you post on Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube?
Yeah. So LinkedIn, I think it started to make sense to me about a year ago. I started posting every business day, and I ended up posting for 8 months straight every business day. And, you know, I'm a designer, I'm not a writer, but I was writing, you know, anywhere from short form, mid form to long form type of content. So, you know, it was taking up at the beginning probably 2 hours of my day every day. And then eventually got that down to about 30, 40 minutes a day and automated some things. But really it was about testing the waters. If LinkedIn could really help someone in a creative or someone in my industry. And I kind of like showed the whole process. So, if you wanted to, this isn't a plug or anything, but if you wanted to hop on, it's this Kyle K. Portwright is the last part of the handle there, but you can see my process of, the cobwebs at the beginning, to say the least.
I was just about to say how I'm going to do that as soon as we're off the call.
And that persistence and consistency is huge. And if I gave up at the beginning, we wouldn't see the results that I had at the end. But essentially, after 4, 5, 6 months there, it was around, that 4 month mark was like nothing. $0.00 came in as a result of posting. And so you start to get frustrated. It's like, oh, is this even like worth it type of thing? And then that next month came and the floodgates opened with retainer work and tens of thousands of dollars worth of work coming in. And it was like, well, okay, yeah, this has some legs to it. And so it served its purpose at that time. And I had to, I stopped writing for a little bit and want to hop back on because I just missed the interactions I had with people. And not that, I think business is good right now, but I want to be able to have those interactions and help folks. And it was just really about finding my voice and fleshing it out from that, maybe 70% mark to 100%. That's what I found with writing, is the more that you write, the more that you can flesh out those ideas and really get behind it, because there's some ideas I have that's like, I heard that somewhere. And I feel like I believe this, but I don't know why all the way, right? And so just trying to be really vulnerable and honest with myself as much as I can. And I'm not innately a vulnerable person, I feel like, but just trying to put myself out there. Don't care about the likes, comments, all the engagement. Like, of course, that's important, and that'll help me reach more folks. And to track those things is important too, I think. But I just focused on the content itself and, okay, can I make impact on LinkedIn as a creative? And so the answer really is, if you put in enough time, like if I gave up at 3 months, I wouldn't have seen the exponential kind of results from it. And so what I would say is, don't give up. There's that whole graphic from Visualize Value. I don't know if some of you have seen this, where it's like, there's nothing. And then it says, this is pointless. And then it goes in this hockey stick type of moment after that. And that's where most people give up. So when you feel like giving up, just persist through is the best thing that I can say. And eventually, I don't know when, right? I don't have a crystal ball, but good things will happen if you keep at it.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of people do give up, including myself in some things. If I was putting a lot of effort into something for like 3, 4 months, you just give up and try to focus on something else. And then you become like overwhelmed because all of a sudden you tried Instagram, Pinterest, YouTube, LinkedIn, TikTok, and nothing's working. Well, it's not working because you're not consistent enough and not, long enough on that platform. Now, I know you are all about SEO and you talked about it in the past. And I think I even asked you for a backlink in 2017 on your website. Can you share some maybe wins, you were getting clients through SEO, right? So what is that you were doing maybe on your website? Is it just about the keywords or is it blogging? Just tell us more about SEO and how to get clients.
Yeah, of course. So like I kind of mentioned, the game has changed. And I know you know this since, you know, even, you know, 10 years ago. And so you can't just, you know, pop up some keywords, you know, in MySpace, you know, branding. You know, I was ranking for branding Albuquerque, graphic designer Albuquerque, logo designer Albuquerque. You know, and that's really what helped me grow. And so organically and naturally within your page, you want to have some of those keywords in there. And there's what's called LSI keywords now, latent semantic indexing or something crazy like that. But essentially, Google's smart enough to know that if you have the word, you know, graphic designer on there, then it correlates directly to if someone searches brand designer or branding or things like that. So that's what helps, you know, search, you know, protect the integrity of search, if you will. And so really that's what was working for me at the beginning. And what I did as part of my SEO kind of overall strategy was, instead of just ranking for my local area, I decided to, and it took some work to get to this place, but gather all these different print directories from all around different cities in the US specifically. And so I would list these out with, you know, Birmingham, Alabama print directories, for instance, and I would show clients how to find local printers in their local area. So it was a helpful tool for them. And then, you know, there's a form on that page too, if they needed some design to support that. And so essentially I put those out on my sitemap. And so I had people coming in left and right from all different areas of the country, eventually, not just my locally specific area. So that was a big game changer for me. And, you know, SEO, like I said, it was like 90% of the leads coming in at that point, and now it's flipped to 90% is more of the, you know, word of mouth traffic. And SEO is still working, but I found that, you know, when you're referred by folks, and it tends to be more qualified than someone coming randomly off Google necessarily. So that's, you know, we could talk about qualification all day too, but I'm not gonna get into that until you say let's do it. But yeah, that's really what has been working. I think if someone was just coming in and say, I know nothing about SEO, I would recommend setting up a my business, Google My Business listing, and getting some reviews. I mean, even if you're just starting out, you could get like a character review if you haven't worked on one project, and people value that. And so you can start building out those reviews on Google, and that of course increases the credibility of your listing and gets you in those maps, that three-part like map listing. And then that helps with the organic side of the listings below that and organic search too. So that's where I would start, and really just optimize that and build it out with great keywords. Set up your keywords naturally on your homepage. You know, there's H1 and H2 tags and all these things that go into that, or you may need a developer of sorts to, if you don't know WordPress or like a CMS like that. But that's where I would start, is local search in your local area. You know, for me, it would be brand designer, you know, Albuquerque where I was, or graphic designer Albuquerque, and find that equivalent and really hone in on that. For specifically your homepage is really important. Make sure you got backlinks going to different pages within your site, and because linking is really important for the credibility of a site as it's coming from different sources, and go from there. So there's so much there, and I'm just trying to pack in, you know, as much as possible here without going too crazy with it.
Yeah, and I will just add, because we talked about consistency on LinkedIn, and then we also talked about SEO. So I'm going to just share, and I think I even told you this via email, but maybe I didn't. I am getting most of our clients are really coming through our blog. And that is because all our blog posts, and we post only 2 times a month, and so it's SEO. Yes, we do have, you know, the whole website is optimized. We have Google My Business page. We ask for reviews. We're getting reviews and all of that. But people are coming through blog because it's so specific. It's not like branding for startups. No, it's a branding for a natural skincare line.
And yes.
And then from there, you know, people, well, first of all, whoever types that in, you know, natural skincare line branding, we're the only company that's going to come up. And like, and they'll get like multiple pages from our website. And then from there, we provide like quality blog posts. And I think, so 7-8 years ago, I was writing them by myself. And then my husband was proofreading them.
Love it.
Yeah, because, you know, English is my second language and he's an American. Yeah. So like, well, here you go. You have to proofread. And he had, and he still has like 9 to 5. And so after 5, he would come home and work on my business.
That's a good man right there. Yeah. I love it. You guys are
But Yeah, we are. And now I have a blogger who writes for us. So I don't even do anything. My manager would send, these are topics we want to talk about. He would submit the blog posts. We don't even read them anymore because he's been with us for the past like 5 years. I just, you know, and my manager will like copy paste them, just put them in WordPress, optimize everything. Yep. But clients are coming through that because it's so specific. And also, just like you, I didn't see any results for maybe even years. And I was just like, writing. And I was like, no, I believe in this. It's going to happen.
I love that so much. And that's such a good point that you make with it's what's called our long tail keywords, right? And so long tail is essentially, and you, there's different tools online that you can use. KW Finder is an interesting one, kwfinder.com. I mean, Google has some great tools that are free and some others, but I think that, you know, long tail is where it's at. Because even if it, you know, you want to find that sweet spot when it comes to search volume too, of course, and you found that sweet spot, but you know, if no one's searching for it, there's no point in, you know, moving forward with it, but we still have to keep it long tail. And, you know, it might be, you know, identity designer, you know, based in this city. And so
yes, it doesn't have to be a specific project like my example. Yeah. I decided to do that is because I really wanted to get a skincare line. So every time I imagine, oh, I would like to work on a supplement blog post, right? All about it.
Amazing. And that's such a good, I mean, that's so good because you're niching in on the type, you're attracting the type of design that you want to work on. I mean, it's a lot of people say this, right? But it's, I think a lot of people miss it where it's like, okay, I need to start with what I'm passionate about and what I truly enjoy working on first, because I mean, we always say like think of the client first, which is, it's really important to think of the client, of course, but it's not going to have the legs to go the distance if you don't have that base of passion behind it first. So I love what you're doing there. I think that's so smart of how you're going about it. And you've seen the results, right? You continue to grow and you're building out, you know, all these different diverse avenues. And yeah, it's been fun to see how you develop this incredible brand.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thank you for being on the show. I think you shared so much about like getting clients, and not just any clients, but really getting good clients. And I'm sure our listeners are taking notes. I definitely am. So every time you see me looking down, I'm taking notes. And amazing, I started with post-it notes. Now I have like a bunch. But before we sign off, could you please share with our listeners where they can find more about you, maybe your work and your businesses? Like, do you have websites, social media profiles that you would like to share?
Yeah, sure. Thanks. It's courtrightdesign.com. And that's my freelance business. Etchdesign.co is the subscription kind of business there. And I'm kind of all everywhere with the handles on social media, but KCourtDesign is my Twitter, and then courtrightdesign is some of the others. So there's a whole story behind that. But yeah, that's where you can find me on socials.
Perfect. So to our listeners, be sure to check out all the websites and connect with him on social media. And thank you all for tuning in. And Kyle, thank you so much for being here. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Enjoyed it. Thank you for having me, Katie. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profitable Graphic Designer podcast. But wait, before you go, if you enjoyed this podcast episode and want a chance to access one of our online courses for free, simply leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Each month, one lucky reviewer gets to pick a course as a token of our appreciation. And here's a reminder. We are here to help you build the design business of your dreams. Whether it's creating compelling proposals, attracting 10K clients, pricing your design services, improving your portfolio, reaching six figures and beyond, or helping you stand out, we've got you covered. I invite you to join over 1,000 designers in my signature 12-week program, The Profitable Designer. Visit aventiveacademy.com/profit. And also, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. That way, you'll be the first to know when each new episode drops so you never miss out on future content. Until next time, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at Aventive Academy, where we share valuable business tips, stories, and resources for brand, graphic, and web design business owners. Bye for now. Your host, Katie Sandell.